Hey ladies, you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. I'm your host, Emily Thomas. This is a show that helps you love your actual life so that you do not need to run away from home. Listen, motherhood is hard, and right now, life in general is pretty hard. 2020, man. Let's put that back in a box. Seal it up. This has not been a great year. All the things going on with the unrest, with the protests, peaceful and not, surrounding the death of George Floyd, and, I mean, so many other people. I don't have anything good to say about it. I wish I had some wisdom. I feel pressure to have some wisdom, but, I mean, I don't have any, so I have sorrow and, gosh, unbelief. Just so sad. Sad that it could actually not affect me if I didn't make it. You know what I'm saying? And it's really hard. I feel busy. I know you feel busy, but we've got to listen, and we've got to do something, because not doing something's not okay. But it's hard because sometimes you think doing something, well, what could I do that would really make any kind of an impact? I think that's not the right question. I think that's a question that keeps us doing nothing. So anyway, I ordered some books. I'll let you know about them as I read them. I feel like I'm really behind on all this. I think it makes me uncomfortable to, well, I know it makes me uncomfortable to think about race and all of those things, because I feel like I'm going to do it wrong, or I don't know enough, or I'm going to say the wrong thing. Ladies, if you want to hear me really stumble through some awkward conversations about race and things like that, I would recommend episode 45 and episode 144. I am committed to learning more about this, and I don't think that saying we don't have enough time is a good excuse, and I'm guilty of using it, so not anymore. Anyway, I don't know what to say. I'm just saying random words that don't make a whole lot of sense. Maybe to let you know that if you're feeling a random kind of way that doesn't make a lot of sense, you're not alone. We just need to keep learning and listening, and more than anything, praying and repenting for whatever's going on in our hearts that we, it's just not right. I think we all obviously have a level of that, no matter who we are, because we are part of fallen creation. Anyway, so yeah, let's go ahead and talk about motherhood. So Becky Keefe wrote a book called No Better Mom for the Job. That title, doesn't that just hit the actual core of the fact that we feel like we don't know what we're doing? Because a lot of times we don't know what we're doing, but the fact is there is no better mom for the job. God did not make a mistake giving you the kids that you have. And Becky has a whole bunch of wisdom about it. So let's go ahead and jump in to my chat with Becky. Good morning, Becky. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm really grateful to be here and having this conversation with you today, Emily.
Yeah. Where do you live?
I'm in Southern California. So I'm in the greater LA area.
Okay. Okay. How exciting. I went to school in Fullerton.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Where? Cal State Fullerton or Biola?
Right across the street. No, across the street from Cal State. Yes, that's where I went.
My husband was the volleyball coach there for 1 year. That's so funny. That's like the tiniest little school.
It's the tiniest, but it was also the most affordable. So that's where I went.
And where are you located?
Dallas.
Oh. So did you just come out to California just for college?
Yeah.
That's it. That's awesome.
Yeah. Are you from California?
I am. Yeah. I grew up in Whittier, which is not too far from Fullerton. And
fun. I love it. All right. Well, will you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Yeah. So I am the mom of three spirited boys, as I like to say. Anyone else listening have spirited children? I send you virtual chocolate and a hug. Yes. So my boys are now 11, almost 10, almost 8. And yeah, we live here in California. I'm an author and a speaker and the community manager of Encourage. So between kids and husband and work and ministry. There's full days. But I really, really enjoy the season of motherhood that I'm in.
Good. Yeah. A little bit older kids. Yeah. I'm liking it too.
Yeah. I felt like, so I had 3 boys in 3.5 years, which wow. rocked my world. And I remember feeling like I will always be nursing and pregnant and home with lots of littles. And there's so many beautiful things about that season of motherhood, but it's so hard. I mean, there's challenges in every season for sure. And I feel like parenting older kids, it moves from, you know, physical exhaustion to more like pouring out mentally and emotionally. But yeah, I feel like I enjoy who my kids are becoming more and more. And that's a really sweet place to be. Not to rush past the season you're in, but to know that it is a season and that there are really sweet things to come with older kids.
Yes. I love their personalities, and you can joke with them and they can joke with you, and they can catch you off guard with some really funny stuff they say. And you're like, oh my gosh, like I feel like in some ways we're peers as far as like being able to make fun of each other or whatever, like in a good way, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, for sure.
I kind of like that. Not like I'm trying to be friends with my kids though. I'm completely against that. And I tell them all the time, I'm not your friend.
Right.
When they tell me, they say, dude, I'm like, oh no, I am not your dude. Thank you.
Right.
Anyway.
My husband lovingly calls me, my maiden name is Pickett. And so for years I was Becky Pickett, and have one of those names where people kind of call me by my first and last name.
Yes.
He usually just calls me Pickett. And so then sometimes my kids will be like, hey, Pickett, can I get a, and I'm like, no, you can call me mom, beautiful mommy. There's lots of options, but hey, Pickett, no, we're not that kind of peers.
That is so, yeah, it is. It's a fine line, but I don't know. Motherhood of older kiddos is super fun. So you said, I asked you what your biggest motherhood surprise is. And you said that people that you love the most can bring out the very worst in you.
Mm-hmm.
So for maybe a new mom or somebody who's like, what, who is this person that I am? I did not know I was such a monster. Well, welcome to motherhood. You are.
Yes.
How would you encourage that mom who's seeing some nasty stuff in herself?
Oh, the first thing I would say is that you're not alone. You are not the only mom who loses it, who loves your kid fiercely and yet fiercely wants to shake them.
Yeah.
You won't. But like, I never knew I struggled with anger until I became a mom. And in my book, No Better Mom for the Job, I actually have a whole chapter called When the People You Love the Most Bring Out Your Worst. And I felt so much shame and so much, yeah, shame is just really the right word, of feeling like, how can I like scary scream at my small children? How can I let myself get so out of control? And so I would say to the mom who's in that place now, there were 3 things that really helped me overcome this area. And I want to say I'm still totally in process, but I have made a lot of progress, and that gives me a whole lot of hope that I'm not stuck in my sin. I'm not stuck in these destructive cycles. And definitely the first was like getting honest with myself and accountable to a friend about this. I feel like it's so important to bring our sin and shame out of the darkness of isolation and into the light of shared experience.
Yeah. I remember when I first became a mom and I was angry, I would not even tell another girlfriend that I was angry. I was like, I'm taking this to my grave. Not like they don't see that I'm angry. You know what I mean? Like, it's so funny. Right. We think we're hiding things that we're not actually hiding, probably.
Although I have to say, I parent very different with an audience, right?
Very, yes. That's a very good point. You're right.
I remember, you know, when my kids especially were little, on a regular Tuesday at home with all of us, you know, I could just lose it. But if there was friends over for a play date, I might take an extra deep breath, you know, find my gentle voice.
Super sweet voice, yeah.
Right, of course, all those things. But so for sure, I remember the first time admitting to a friend, she was over for a play date, and we were sitting on my back porch step watching, you know, the kids go wild. And I remember just, I couldn't even look at her, but I was just like, I got to tell you something. Like, I'm so angry and I don't know how to fix it. And I remember her just hanging her head and saying, me too. And it was such a hard but freeing moment to be like, I'm not alone. obviously I'm not alone because God is with me, but also there's something about this that's common to motherhood. And mm-hmm. in that there is hope.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. And really hard. Really hard yeah. to get to that point, but you're right. When you finally do tell someone, you're like, okay, now all of a sudden there's so much pressure is released. We can figure right. something out
Plus,
together.
And then I realized that this was also an opportunity to really teach my kids some valuable lessons about forgiveness, about apologizing. You know, even if they had a behavior that needed to be corrected, I had to get to the point of realizing like their disobedience or disrespect or, you know, smashing a dozen eggs into the carpet, like Whoa. That may have happened. Someone may have used my hairbrush to scrub the toilet. I mean, things happen.
Oh my goodness.
And their poor choices, whether intentional or just little kid lack of impulse control, like it didn't justify my poor choice. Yeah. And so learning to say like, I'm so sorry, mommy scared you. I should have used my words. Can we start over? And modeling that was so much more effective and powerful mm-hmm. than nagging my kids into say sorry to your brother or, you know, lecturing them into what forgiveness and sincere apologies look like, but to really humble myself and be like, we're going to deal with what happened with you, but I got to deal with what happened with me.
Yeah.
And I messed up.
That's so good. Yeah. For me, it's usually, the delivery, my tone. I don't do as much yelling as just being a jerk, being sarcastic with my tone and like condescending and stuff. And so that's where I have to, because I can say, well, I wasn't yelling and I didn't, it's not like I cussed at him or something, but my husband's like, you were so rude. I'm like, okay. So yeah, we all want to justify the ditch that we like to fall into, but owning it before them is so, so important and helpful. I want to say a special thank you to Prepdish, who's been a longtime sponsor of the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Prepdish helps me not just eat granola bars. I don't know why that is my go-to thing. It's just small and in a package and not a healthy option for every single time I open my mouth. Prepdish has paleo and gluten-free meal plans. And when you sign up with Prepdish, you get a week's worth of meal plans using seasonal ingredients. So it's going to make the most of your budget, and they're even going to be the most nutritious things when you eat them in the right season. You'll get a weekly menu, a printable grocery list, and instructions for the prep day. And in about 2 hours of prep in your kitchen, you are going to get healthy dishes all week long. You end up getting 4 meals, a salad, a breakfast, a snack, and a dessert. And Allison even makes super fast menu options, which are the ones I'm going for these days. This week for breakfast, I'm having poached eggs over sweet potatoes with avocado slices. Yes, please. And for dessert, Allison's recommending this, so I have to. I don't have a choice. Dark chocolate with almond butter. Mm-hmm. If you have still not tried Prepdish, I don't understand why, but let's fix that right now. Head to prepdish.com/MSW and you get a try for 2 weeks completely free. prepdish.com/MSW. So you told me also that pre-motherhood you had a career and you had a lot of confidence and that you thought, I think we all thought, okay, like I'm educated, I am, you know, whatever, I can totally do this. I've done this before in a job and even somewhat respected, you know, and then you become a mom and you're like, hold it. Did this train me for anything? Like, I'm not even ready for this.
Totally, totally. I was like, I felt like, yeah, like I can contribute to a team. Like I can learn new things and, you know, I'm an Enneagram 3. And so I'm an achiever and,
yes.
And I like gold stars and words of affirmation and pats on the back. And then I became a mom and that confidence I felt as a friend, as a wife, as I was working as an editor, like did not transfer over into motherhood. And I was so unprepared for the levels of inadequacy that I would feel as a mom and feeling like, shouldn't I be made for this? Shouldn't this come more naturally? Shouldn't I love it more? Shouldn't I know how to do this? And I didn't feel like I knew how to do anything as a mom.
I mean, the title of your book, No Better Mom for the Job, I just think it's so good because I do. I tell my husband, like, someone else could do this better. Mm-hmm. Even me not being here would probably be better.
Right.
And that's such a lie, but I mean, that's a real feeling.
Yeah. And that's how I remember feeling like that just even when I had one child. I remember feeling like we weren't a match, like something was wrong with him or something was wrong with me. But either way, I wasn't cut out for this. And I was really convinced that another mom, another person could step into any number of parenting situations and do a better job than I could.
So how'd you get past it?
not easily, but the first step was to realizing recognizing that that was a lie. Mm-hmm. There wasn't some other magical mom waiting in the wings. I wasn't God's second string pick, that he had a plan and a purpose for my motherhood. And this is a truth, whether you come to motherhood by birth or adoption or you're fostering or you have taken in other kids, whatever season of motherhood you are in, for however long that season lasts, I really believe, and I believe the word of God confirms it, that he did not make a mistake, that I am the right mom for my kids. And so I had to shift my thinking from being so keenly aware of all the ways that I lacked and fell short to, okay, God, not that I don't have a lot of things to learn and grow in, but if I am the right mom for my kids, then how have you already prepared and equipped me?
Yeah.
And even more than that, how, Jesus, how can you meet me in this moment? And how can I do this motherhood thing by your strength and not my own?
Yeah. And it's almost a place that we are afraid of being, where we have to be so dependent on the Lord in our parenting. But it also is, it's really a beautiful place and a place of, you can finally, exhale and have a freedom in knowing that you're not doing this by ourselves. I don't know why we always, or at least me, I like to get to the absolute breaking point before I go there. Mm-hmm. It's a little ridiculous, but I'm actually... Even this month, last night we caught our kids in a big, deception. And we both, it's very rare that my husband and I both are upset by something at the same time. Usually I'm upset and he's like, okay, well, it's not that big of a deal. When I was their age, his story's, he was a terrible kid is what I've learned. But he always kind of helps me. But we were both at the same time like, are you kidding me right now? And so just this morning going, Lord, I think knowing our tendency, I think my tendency is to want to make them feel terrible and shame them and just try to make them with my presence, say the right thing and do the right thing and know that they have made a terrible, terrible mistake. But it goes over and it's trying to make them feel like they are bad. Mm-hmm. So that's, I don't know, just... We have to realize where we tend to go in those situations and what we blow out of proportion. And some of that takes so much time to untangle our sin and their sin and our broken places and our preconceptions. So I don't know. I think I've only been a mom for about 12 years now, but I'm understanding that dealing with something doesn't need to happen as soon as I thought. Because there's so much that I have to untangle in my own self before I can address them.
Yeah.
So anyway, all that to say, I still have not addressed what happened last night, but I have definitely talked about it with the Lord a lot and my husband. And so that to me is a win. We will address it, but hopefully in a godly way.
For sure. And it's in moments like that where I'm so grateful, a verse that has been a lifeline throughout all of motherhood for me, and I've been a mom for 11 and a half years, is found in the book of James. And there's a promise, and it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he or she should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And I feel like that's, going back to that feeling of being inadequate in motherhood, to realize that that's actually, it's kind of a gift to realize that I am inadequate. I don't have wisdom to know how to deal with complex parenting issues or kids who have personalities that are so different, or, times where maybe my husband and I are not on the same page of how to address something. And so to know that that God gives that promise, I'll stand outside my kid's door before going in and having a conversation. I just begging him, give me wisdom. You promise it. And so I love that it says without finding fault, when we mess up, when we start by saying the wrong thing And then we catch ourselves, like, God doesn't hold that against us. He's not like, oh, you already blew it, Emily. You already blew it, Becky. He's like, he's compassionate and gentle. And so I'm with you. Like, there's times where I'm like, I don't know how to deal with this, but I can trust that God will give me the wisdom that I need.
Do you ever struggle with finding toys for the little one in your life that they will think are cool, but will also teach them a thing or two? You can get the best of both worlds with Little Passports. So Little Passports is a subscription box. It's full of toys and games for children of all ages. It also educates and entertains. So every month, they'll deliver right to your door an exciting hands-on learning experience for kids ages 3 and up. So my kids are on the older side, and we got the Science Expeditions Pack. It had really fun experiments. It had a backpack. You can keep it all in. My son has been wearing that around the house for days. The Little Passport subscription box is award-winning and has the parent-tested, parent-approved seal. For $12.95 a month, there's tons to explore right from your own home. And just for Mom Struggling Well listeners, Little Passports is offering 15% off the price of any subscription. That means your child could be flying rockets or looking through a microscope in no time. Use offer code MSW at checkout for 15% off your order. That's littlepassports.com, coupon code MSW. Did you know that by the age of 6, many girls have already started to believe that they are less smart than boys? That just won't do. Positive role models are critical to showing girls what's possible when they dream bigger. The award-winning Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls podcast offers parents and teachers a free resource to inspire, educate, and instill confidence in girls. What's cool is that the podcast draws from a library of stories in the Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls book series, and it highlights one exceptional woman in each 20-minute episode. We love listening to podcasts in the car, but this one would be great for bedtime as well. Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls is narrated by inspiring women like Melinda Gates, Jamila Jamil, and Gail King. Interviews and post-episode activities keep the learning going even after the story ends. Give the Rebel Girl in your life the confidence to dream bigger and find Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls, award-winning educational podcast on your favorite player. What are you learning right now? What's God teaching you right now about motherhood?
I feel like the thing that God does with me is he invites me to relearn lessons I thought I've already learned.
Yeah, gosh.
And so like right now, one of those lessons that I feel like I have learned, and he's like, let's learn that some more, Becky, is being present in the moment with my kids.
Mm.
And I know that that is one of the ways to increase joy in motherhood, to mm-hmm. increase my gratitude is to, so like last night I did it well. Last night it was a beautiful night and my kids wanted to play croquet. And my tendency is always to like, great, you go play and I'll stay inside and get stuff done.
Yeah.
Or I will stay inside and read a book by myself because I crave quiet. I crave. Yes. As an introvert, I crave alone, but I know that so many times God asks me to press in to not what feels most pressing, not my own deadlines or my own work, but to press into being present. And so it was so fun to play croquet as a family and to laugh and joke and giggle. And the boys, you know, cheered when I was the first one to get out because Daddy got to be poison and then he knocked me out and, you know, and just, oh. It was so much better than had I loaded the dishwasher and checked an email and scrolled Instagram. It was so much better than that, but I don't always choose what's better. And so that's what I'm learning. Oh God, I want to choose what's better. I want to take productivity off the pedestal that I put it on and be present with my kids in this season. Cause I know that it's not going to last. I know that the days feel so long, no matter, you know, if your kids are toddlers or teenagers, the time is so finite, and I don't want to look back and be like, I wish I would have been more present.
Yeah. And them wanting us around is not going to happen forever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't tell me that. I know it's true.
Yeah.
My 11-year-old still will cuddle and hug me and wants me to sing him a bedtime song. And I have a terrible voice. And yeah. Terrible. And yet my kids want me to be with them in those moments. And so to see that as a gift and not a burden.
Yeah, that's so good. It does feel tricky. I think also when they're super into things that are very uninteresting to me.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's into Legos and specifically Avenger Legos. And so we're talking about, we're in the weeds about what is like, someone snaps and something happens with, I don't even understand. I don't know. The whole thing is so confusing and involved, but we talk about it all the time. I still don't think I understand it, but I at least hear a lot about it.
And is that like a connecting point for the two of you? Does he like light up when you are willing to like...
Yeah, for sure. I kind of think he'd talk to the dog about it, though. I don't know. I don't know that it connects him to me particularly, but it connects him to everything that will be still in long enough to listen. Bless
yeah.
him. He's adorable. For some reason, though, it is good to find those like connecting points. He loves baking with me, and he really wants to open a bakery, which that's never going to happen. But he really just wants to eat the things I bake. And so he thinks, if you have to bake for your job, I'll get to eat all of it.
I'll eat all the things.
Yes. Yeah. So he finds recipes and puts them on the fridge so that we can bake them. And actually today we're making like apple dumplings. I don't even, where you like wrap a whole apple up with dough or something. I don't know.
Add lots of cinnamon and sugar and it'll be amazing.
I know. And I got ice cream to go with it. So... sometimes it's not bad. Connecting with your kids can be really delicious.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think when we look around at other moms, we can just tell where we are not amazing. But the fact is, we are good. We have to be good at least one thing. There's got to be something right. that we're good at. So how can a mom like embrace what she's good at, even if it doesn't seem at face value to have much that would contribute to motherhood in general?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, that was so key for me in getting out of this pit of feeling inadequate, of feeling like another mom would do a better job in my shoes, was learning to almost see my motherhood like a friend would, like an outsider would. I think we so easily dismiss our strengths because we have a script that goes like, well, everyone does that. That's not special, or
because it comes easy to us.
Right. Or that's mundane. I remember the first time I really saw this was a friend was over and she has two girls and just one son, but her son is sandwiched in the middle. And I have, as I mentioned, three spirited boys. And so they were in the backyard. I think her daughters were at dance or something. It was just her son. And the boys were in the backyard and there was digging and fort building and mud. And she looks at me and she goes, Becky, like, is this how it always is? And I'm like, yeah, kind of. And she's like, and she pointed to like this pile of dirty clothes by the back door. And I felt a little embarrassed. And she goes, have they already changed today? I'm like, yeah, they turn on the hose. And she goes, that's amazing. Like my son has never changed his clothes from getting dirty. And she just was like able to speak this like beautiful, like you are an amazing boy mom. Like aww. You... like, look how you give them freedom and you delight in their wildness. And I didn't see that as a strength until a friend was willing to call it out. And so, and I think there's a cross section between what we delight in and what we're good at. So maybe you delight in French braiding your daughter's hair. Maybe you delight in teaching your kids to read. If you do, let me tell you, that is a strength.
Yeah.
I'm a professional writer and I love reading, and yet it is a struggle to teach. I did not like teaching my kids to read. So, you know, it can be little things. For me, I realized like, wow, like I'm really good at helping my kids be imaginative, taking cardboard boxes and turning them into different things. Practicing gratitude is really important to me. And so I've made that a part of like our daily family rhythm of conversations we have at the dinner table or the way we say our prayers at night. And I didn't think of those as strengths because those are just so ordinary to me, but to call them out gives it power to be like, oh my God, I am good at this. It's not, instead of just focusing on our weaknesses, which we're so keenly aware of, to take time to even write a little list. I'm good at making living room picnics like a boss.
Yes.
You know, I'm good at making up ridiculous songs and singing them to my children, and they might roll their eyes, but they also love it. You know, like, so Emily, like, tell me, like, what are you good at? Like, what are two strengths that you might take for granted?
Oh, that's That's a good question. I think as you were talking, I was thinking of doing like a little bit, little tiny Bible studies with the kids, really just read like five verses of, you know, the next. We're in Philippians right now. And just asking them, who cares? Why do you care? Mm. You know, and just making them apply it to their lives, I feel like mm-hmm. is something that I do. I mean, again, that's it's amazing. So hard because you're like, well, maybe everybody does that. But
no,
I think that's good. I'm good at being direct, which not everybody appreciates. I've been called abrasive and abrupt, but I think that's, I don't know, probably good in my parenting. My kids always know exactly where they stand and they are confident in asserting themselves. So that's probably good. I don't know.
No, see, and this is what we do as moms. And I speak to lots of groups of moms and I get this kind of same reaction. There's this like this bashfulness, this like uncertainty of like, can I call this a strength? And so for the moms listening, I want to say, yes, you can. You can call it a strength that you know how to grease a squeaky scooter wheel. True. You can call it a strength that you are willing to allow your kids to make dinner with you. I really don't want my kids anywhere near the kitchen. Like that's not a strength for me. It's like my favorite story. I tell the story in the book about one time when I was speaking to a group of moms. And I asked them, I said, you know, will someone be brave and tell me one of your strengths? And of course it was like crickets. And I'm like, come on. Like, and so finally this one, like mom raises her hand and she goes, well, I guess I'm good at sticking to my guns. And I was like, oh, that sounds like a strength. Tell me about that. And she goes on to tell the story of how she was on her way to Disneyland with her two daughters. So we live here in Southern California. Yes. And she had annual passes. And I don't even know what it was, but she told her young daughter, her daughter was doing something over and over. And she had told her like multiple times, stop doing that, redirect her discipline, all the things. And it got to the point where she said, if you do it one more time, we are turning around, we are going home. And so of course the little girl promises, mommy, I promise, like I will never do it again. And so they drive the LA traffic to Disneyland. They walk to the tram, they tram, they walk in line. Then they actually were meeting friends. They walk and meet the friends. They are on their way to the next ride. And that little girl does that thing. And her mom goes, standing now in front of me, you know, in this mom's group, she goes, so we left.
Amazing.
Emily, my jaw was to the floor. I'm like, you left? She goes, yeah, because I guess I'm good at sticking to my guns.
That's amazing.
I just like wanted to squeeze her and be like, you don't even realize what a strength that is. Because I will guarantee I would have done one of several things. I probably, if I was in her shoes, I would have ignored it. All right, more churros on our way to Splash Mountain. I would have like breathed like bribes / threats under my breath. Like now I really needed it because I mean, all that effort, all, you know, friends being there. And so, but she didn't see it as a strength because that's so just part of how she's wired, part of her normal mothering. And so this is the beauty of being willing to call it our strengths, because then you see like, oh, like I am wired for this child. I am the right mom in this moment. And it's not about comparing your strengths to someone else's, or even if everyone else stuck to their guns, which we don't, even if that would still be a strength.
Yes, absolutely. So
I love that Disneyland story.
That is really, that is a lot. Even driving to the grocery store in LA traffic, I mean, much less tram and park and oh my gosh.
Right. And all the lines. And so just to encourage, you know, you moms who are listening to think about like, what is one of your strengths today? And if it's so hard that you can't find one, call or text a friend.
Because they can tell you, they know.
They can tell you. Yes. And I have done that before in seasons or moments where I was just in a pit and feeling like, let me escape. Let's let someone else come in and do this job for me. And I would text a friend. I'm like, and just tell her like, hey, like I suck. I am a terrible mom right now. Can you please remind me that like God didn't make a mistake in making me the mom of these kids? Can you tell me something that you see in me? And to be willing to do that for someone else.
Yeah. And you know, it's amazing how, like, even if you think of your closest girlfriends right now, you can think of what all their strengths are immediately. It doesn't even, you don't even have to think about it.
Right.
They just come to mind. And so the same is true for us. We just don't necessarily, we don't see it. We're so clouded by.
Right.
All
and
the
I think
other things.
It's such a good skill or discipline to learn to talk to ourselves like we would talk to a friend. talk to ourselves and about ourselves. You know, like I can praise my friend Audra, who, you know, she's not ruffled by messes. She's my friend who's like, come over for lunch and let's let all the little kids make their own pizza dough. And I'm like,
Why would you do that? Audra?
Why would we do that? And she's like, come on, it'll be fun. And there's dough and flour and cheese everywhere. And I'm like, that's not me, but I don't have to like let that be a condemnation on my motherhood. I can just delight in my friend and build her up and be like, Audra, you are amazing. I remember one other time she invited us over for lunch, which also I think is amazing because I hated having people over at my house for lunch because I'm like, I eat peanut butter and jelly crust. Like I have nothing to offer you.
Yeah.
but she was going to make mac and cheese, like super simple. And my little Elias wanted to help. And I'm like, it's okay. You don't have to let him. And she goes, no, it's fine. And he poured like half a gallon of milk into this mac and cheese. It was basically like milk noodle soup. And she served it up to the kids. And she's like, it's fine.
Oh my goodness.
Like, God bless you, Audra. and so I can easily call out all of her patient, creative, carefree strengths. And and she's been gracious to do the same for me, even though my strengths look very different.
Yeah, well, and if you partner up, then your kids get that fun, messy mac and cheese soup experience, and it's not at your house, and she's energized by it for whatever reason.
Right.
You know, I love that we can just let other, you know, it does take a village. We can let other people do what they love, and our kids get to reap the benefits of that.
Yeah. And then it goes even deeper, Emily, when then we turn that recognition of our strengths into thanksgiving to God. God, thank you for making me a mom who sticks to my guns. Thank you for making me direct enough to speak to my kids and teach them the power of honest communication. You know, God, thank you for turning my heart towards gratitude that I may hopefully raise kids who really know the power of Thanksgiving too. Like to turn that recognition of our strengths into praise to God, then for me, that's even drawn me closer to the Lord and seeing that like he's true to his word. Like he promises to go with us and to equip us. And wow, God, you really are doing that.
Yeah. Well, and if we think of it as a strength and we know that and James, it says that all of those gifts are from him. Mm-hmm. It becomes easy to say, yeah, thank you that I am direct, even, you know.
Even right.
It needs to be tempered sometimes. But it's good. Well, thank you for writing this book. Thank you for the work that you do with Encourage and all of that. It's just so necessary and important.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. I feel like if the hard earned lessons I have learned and honestly am still learning can encourage another mom in the thick of it, I'm so grateful.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us about the YouVersion Bible study you have coming.
Yeah. So by the time you listen to this right now, there is a free 5-day Bible reading plan on YouVersion. Same title as my book, No Better Mom for the Job. And so if you want an easy way to read a little scripture, hear a story from another mom in the thick of it, sign up for that plan. It's totally free. And I really believe that it will encourage you.
I love it. And they can find it at the YouVersion app.
Yeah, which is the Bible app. So yeah, you just click on, open a little Bible icon and click on plans and, you know, type in my name or No Better Mom for the Job or motherhood. Any of those things will help you find it.
I love it. I love it so much. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks, Emily.
All right, ladies, I hope you were encouraged by Becky's words. I think that we have an enemy. Well, we definitely do. I don't just think that. We have an enemy who hates us, and he is out to get us, and he wants to hit us where it hurts, and he wants to take us down, and he's going to do that by telling us that we have these kids who there's either something wrong with them or there is something wrong with us, and I'm here to tell you that neither one of those are true. And I really hope in this podcast, my heart and my goal is to land in the middle, because it is not your kid's fault that being a mom is hard and sometimes the worst, but it's also not your fault. It's hard because it's hard. But like Becky says, there's no better mom for the job. So how are you going to struggle well this week based on what Becky said? I like how she said that when you realize you're angry or you've just got some thing that you do that is not healthy and it's not appropriate regarding parenting or just life in general, get honest with yourself about it. We are so good at justifying things and lying to ourselves. So get honest with yourself about it and share it with a friend. You will find freedom from what is bound you when you bring it to the light. Maybe you struggle well this week by modeling, asking for forgiveness from your kids. I know this is good. I tell other people that it's good. And I still, in my own life, have a hard time humbling myself and not justifying myself. But modeling forgiveness really does. I mean, it softens the whole conversation, changes the actual trajectory of the whole entire thing. And just like when somebody above you humbles themselves and apologizes, doesn't it just grow your respect for them? It doesn't make you think they're weak. So let's model that well this week for our kids. And don't be surprised when you make a mistake. Look for it. It's an opportunity to then humble yourself in front of your kids. Do you like that spin? Gosh, it doesn't feel like an opportunity. Maybe you struggle well this week by looking at the ways that God has equipped you and not at the things that you feel are glaring holes in your ability. And when you don't know what to do, ask God for wisdom. It is a promise that he will give it to you. And he does not give you the side eye and go, I just gave you wisdom last week. Are you kidding me right now? He will give it to you abundantly, overflowing. That's how much wisdom he's going to give you. We'd be really silly not to take him up on the offer. Something that Becky said about taking productivity off the pedestal we've put it on and just be present. Oh man, so hard. But yeah, that is where the good stuff is. That is where life is found. So I don't know if you saw on Instagram, join me there at Mom Struggling Well. But I went ahead and went to the store for a plant and I left with a fountain. That was not a plan, but I love it. And it has just really drawn all of us to outside because it's pretty. But the sound, it just has transformed outside for us. And we already had the twinkle lights, you know, which they were $100 on Amazon and they're outdoor lights, so they're good for forever. But if you get some mosquito repellent, turn on those twinkle lights and the fountain on, we've been out there till 11, which is arguably questionable parenting, but we have just really been enjoying it. And it doesn't feel late because the lights are on. It's just magical out there. However, if I don't keep it up, then when we're out there, I'm just watering plants or cutting the wisteria vine that we have in our courtyard will literally eat our house up. And then we'd have to be cut out by the firemen. So if I don't keep up with it, it gets out of control. So in my mind, I plan for after dinner, hanging out with the dog and the kids and the husband in the courtyard. It's going to be awesome. So why don't I sweep up all of the things that are going to bother me while we're out there? Why don't I see if I can clean the table earlier and just kind of prepare that area as a way to struggle well that when we get out there, I can fully enjoy them and not tasks. See what I'm saying? And it's funny because in the morning when we wake up, all we can do is talk about how much fun we had outside. And the awesome thing is it's there all the time. Outside is pretty consistently there every time we open our door. So if I can just get some stuff done beforehand, then I can enjoy it. It's been really amazing. So I don't know, maybe you prepare ahead of time an area in your house if it's hard for you to sit down if things aren't clean like me. If we share the same neuroses. Okay, and finally, maybe you struggle this week by calling out what you actually are good at as a mom. What are your strengths? It's really hard to figure out what they are on the spot. You feel all of a sudden quite sheepish and embarrassed. And take it one step further, I challenge you to text 3 friends, not even 1 friend. I'm not even playing here. This is serious. I challenge you to text 3 friends this minute. Pull over if you're driving. Safety first. And tell them, listen, I really admire this about the way that you parent. That's it. Can you imagine how encouraging that would be? All right, ladies. It's been so nice spending this time with you. I hope you've enjoyed it. I would recommend Becky's book to you. It's quite good. Let me pray for us. Lord, my heart is heavy. My brain can't wrap itself around what has been going on in these past several months. What in the actual world? The good thing is it helps us remember that this is not our home, ultimately. But Lord, would you please rearrange our hearts, soften them, reshape them, give us a new one, whatever, just transplant it, whatever needs to happen to where we would live like you're coming back, because you are, but we get so complacent. We think this is the best that there is. This is not as good as it gets. God, would you make us agents of change? Would you keep it in the forefront of our minds that we are to be lights to show you to people? Would you, I don't know, Lord, there's just so much brokenness and hurt. It feels overwhelming. So, Lord, would you please bring comfort and please bring restoration? We need you. In Jesus' name, amen.